Why do bullies succeed at what they do? Bullying comes from a place of insecurity and chaos, and when you can't control chaos, you try to control someone else. Said with fencing, when you're looking at your opponent and seeing how they're going to strike, you have to think about how you can take back control. And I feel like that's just a really nice metaphor for me right now. So it's really nice to be present doing an activity that requires concentration and skill that I don't yet have, so I'm actively learning it and thinking about what I could control in that very moment. Welcome back to Gumption. I'm your host, Lil, and this is the podcast that helps you become the main character of your own life. I'm happy to say that I am back. I didn't really go anywhere, but away from your ear pods for a small period of time. But long story short, I just haven't been carving out the time to record episodes, and I haven't felt like anything was really gumption worthy that I was doing. I've been hustling and bustling, killing it at work, killing it in life, planning a wedding, trying to have a social life, doing all these things, and it's been a lot. So sometimes this podcast can be a little draining from the perspective of sharing my life with you guys and being a little bit more host-minded and entertainment-minded, and sometimes you just need to step back and be a little more internal and thinky and writey, and I've been focusing on a lot more quiet creative projects recently. So thank you guys for your patience. If you're here, I'm so excited for you to hear this episode, because I tried something new today. So without further ado, let's get into episode 38, Gumption on Guard. All right, Gumptioneers, we are reporting live after my very first fencing class. One of the goals I set for myself this year was to try 4 new sports or activities, whether it's like throwing pottery or fencing or some kind of weird form of working out. I just wanted to challenge myself to try 4 different things that I have not ever done before as an adult. I feel like growing up in school and in sports, you get the opportunity to try a bunch of different things and see what you like. But then as you get older and you figure out what forms of working out you really love, what activities and hobbies you love, it's harder, in my opinion, to branch out and make yourself try something new when you're already in the comfort zone. But for a while, I had been walking past this fencing studio that is very close to where I live, and I kept thinking to myself, when else in my life am I going to live less than a block away from a proper fencing studio? Probably never. So after many months of indecision, crazy schedules, excuses, I finally decided to just go on their website and see what their availability was. Now, this was not particularly easy. It's definitely an old school, not super tech forward place. So I ended up giving them a call, sending them an email, and it was kind of like you talk back and forth with the coach, and then once you find an available date, you're in. Just to my luck, they had a summer semester for adults or beginner fencers. So it's open to kids above the age of 12 and any adult who wants to learn fencing, which would be me. But I must say, I really appreciated that it wasn't just like a one and done situation, because I can respect that fencing, like any other sport, is an art and it's rooted in a lot of tradition. So it would be very hard to learn everything and really get a feel for it in one class or like one workshop. So they have this series of classes where you go for, I think, 5 or 6 weeks straight, same day of the week, and you just get the basics and the history, and then you go from there. Now, of course, by the time I finally filled out all the forms, paid for the class, I was out of town, so I missed the first 2 sessions. And then I built it up in my head like, oh my god, everybody is going to be so much better than me, they're going to know all these things, they're going to know all the terminology, and I'm going to get there, and I'm going to have to start from square one. Which I was going to have to do anyway, so I don't know why that freaked me out. But right off the bat, I almost talked myself out of it. I got there 10 minutes early because I was like, I don't know if I have to suit up or anything. So naively thinking that I'm going to walk in there and they're immediately going to hand me a sword and I'm just going to start fencing, like, what? But I'm standing outside, I'm like, oh my gosh, the door's locked, like, I don't know where to go in. Looks like the back door's open, but I don't want to walk around and then be late. It was ridiculous because they just hadn't arrived yet to unlock the door, but I almost turned around and walked back home. So just goes to show you, just take a breath, let yourself relax, and it's okay to be nervous when you're trying something new. But I ended up having such a good time, and I wanted to share some of the takeaways I had from the very first class with you guys. And I feel like I'll just do this as a series and update throughout as I go class to class each week. So we'll start with three things that surprised me about fencing. First things first, I don't know a lot about it, so I viewed it as a very aggressive sport. I know it takes a lot of physicality and a lot of coordination, but I haven't watched a lot of fencing, I've never tried it before, so besides like the stereotypical image in everyone's minds of what fencing is, I really was going in blind, not knowing anything about it. What I didn't know was that a lot of the attacks and the positions are extremely subtle. You can change the orientation of your weapon just by moving your thumb and kind of loosely holding it in your hand and twisting your forearm or your wrist, which I just picture people swinging their swords around wildly, and maybe that's what master fencers do, I'm not sure, but at least for the basics, there's a lot you can do with very little movement, but it takes a lot of strength in your legs because you're basically, for my dancers out there, in a plié the whole time, which is like a turned out bent leg position, and you're shuffling forward and backward in that position, so your core is engaging, your like butt is engaging, your thighs, which I just had no idea, like, you were squeezing all those muscles and holding yourself kind of in this, like, middle state when you're fencing. Another thing I learned is that size does not matter when it comes to fencing. So you think you have this, like, really tall or really big opponent, it's gonna make a huge deal as far as where you're reaching and what kind of attacks you're doing, but as it turns out, it actually doesn't make that much of a difference because it is kind of a level playing field. It's more so just paying attention to the opponent's quadrants, which I also learned for my math people out there. When you're fencing someone, you look at them like four quadrants and you choose where you're gonna attack based on what is open and where they could block you. And actually, for a bigger person, it's easier because there's more opportunity and places to strike them. As a shorty, I feel like the only disadvantage you would really have is that you could be more tempted to look at someone's feet instead of their shoulders, trying to see what they're going to do next and then look away from the weapon because you're closer to the ground. And you'd have to take bigger steps if you want to lunge on someone and they're farther away and one step back of theirs is two steps forward of yours. But other than that, like, your physical size and build doesn't make a ton of difference. It's more the strategy that matters, which I had no idea. The coach was awesome. I loved that I was the only girl in this class and that the coach was a woman because that just like made me feel immediately akin to her, and she seems like a really talented, smart, and funny lady, so I'm super excited to get to know her a little better. She clocked my ass right away when I walked in the door. She literally was like, "You seem like an overachiever. You were here 10 minutes early." And I'm like, yes, I am an overachiever. I am type A for sure. She seems to be able to read people really well, and that is something I greatly appreciate in any teacher, any coach, for any sport, discipline, what have you. But another thing that surprised me was she said fencing is a lot about your personality, like when you choose to step back, when you choose to strike. Also, the weapon that you get to use in fencing when you're more advanced is determined by your personality. So I had no idea there was even more than one fencing weapon. We were using foils, which are the little skinny swords that are pretty dull with like the rubber tip on the end of them that bend. But there's also something called a saber. Still haven't seen it, so I don't know what it looks like. But it was really interesting because even the grip can differ based on different types of fencing. So the ones we were using have a pistol grip, which, as it sounds, it's kind of like the back of a gun. It's very delicate, but there's like finger grooves where you're supposed to hold it, and then your thumb is on top. The best way I can describe this is like when Bill Clinton was giving that speech where he was pressing down with his thumb and moving his hand up and down. That's like how you're holding the fencing rod. Rod? Foil? I don't know. But she was also telling us that in French fencing discipline, there is a different grip, which basically just looks like a pencil. So think about if you were wrapping your fingers around a pencil with your thumb on the top and holding it like that, there's not really a lot of like tightening or loosening of your hand you can do without dropping the weapon. Whereas with the pistol grip, you can kind of rotate your wrist and control it with your thumb. You don't have to be squeezing it as tight, or you can to like have a better grip, but it's also better for your arm because all your tendons that are coming through from your elbow into your fingers get less tired when they're a little more relaxed like that, which so interesting. I feel like she was really going into the anatomy piece because one of the people in my class is a doctor at the Cleveland Clinic. So she was trying to explain it to him in a way that he would understand, which is so cool. And I feel like that's the sign of a great teacher. For me, after I told her that I was a ballerina for a long time, when we were doing the stretching portion, she was explaining things to me in ballet terminology, which was awesome. Like, when you start fencing someone, you stand in first position, and you give them a little respect gesture that shows you respect them as an opponent before you start and put your mask on and everything. But then as we were going through the basics of the stance, it just really helped me to hear, like, 45 degree angle, rotate your hips forward, put your shoulders down, like, things that I can very easily do to adjust my body from so many years of dance and those acute adjustments that you learn, whether it's, like, from a snap or a hand gesture or a look from your teacher or them saying, like, tuck this. You just know all the little separate parts of your body and you can finely tune things. So I feel like in that regard, I am going to be pretty good at fencing because I will get the posture down really well. For me, it's definitely going to be practicing and understanding the strategy and not getting, like, timid against an opponent. And I guess the last thing that surprised me, which is kind of a stupid one, admittedly, because, again, it's, like, not really thinking about fencing as a feat of athleticism, is you have to warm up. I just always thought you would, like, suit up and just get going and warm up in the gear and with the weapon, but it makes total sense that, like any other sport, you need to do some aerobic exercises before and get the blood flowing, get the muscles stretched, and then you can really get going. So, like, we jogged a few laps around the studio, we did some jump roping, then we did stretching, and then I didn't feel like anything was cramping while we were doing stuff, so that felt really good, and I didn't even think that you would need to stretch before fencing, but now I know. Also, one of the coolest parts was at the end, we finally were all suited up, and the 5 of us, plus the coach, were just alternating, kind of like practicing to hit each other. And as we were doing so, the actual students and the Sabre team were coming in to warm up for their session, which was really cool because we got to see, like, how they warm up. Some of them were jogging, some of them were just practicing, like, their footwork. Others were doing different exercises, doing, like, little drills. And I don't know, it was just really cool to see them in their groove. And I'm like, you're probably so good, I want to watch you fence. Not saying I'm going to become a professional at this, guys, okay? Like, not in my wheelhouse necessarily, but I just am, like, getting such an appreciation for this that I never would have had I not decided to sign up for this class. Another amazing green flag right off the bat. So this group that I'm with, the adults and beginners group, is 2 12-year-old boys, a man who I'm guessing is probably, like, 60, and a guy who's probably a couple years older than me, who is the doctor, aforementioned doctor. Now, like I said, the coach is a woman, so I definitely felt like I had someone on my side. But I was going in a little awkward because I'm like, oh, like, I'm the only girl, like, I don't know, maybe I'll be, like, scared and they'll be really good or something. But I found that out of the group, I was, so far at least, the most confident, even though I had missed the first session because I was on vacation last week. I think it's just many years of dance and performing and PR has made me very comfortable in my skin and in myself. But usually my realm of comfort is performance, whereas fencing is more like perception of your opponent. So that's definitely going to be a learning curve for me. But one thing that the coach said that I really liked was that fencing is all about control. Might sound like an obvious statement, but the way she related it to real life was a bully. She was like, have you ever been bullied or dealt with a bully? And of course, I raised my hand because back in the day when I was the age of those 12-year-old boys, definitely was a main concern for me every day at school. And she said, why do bullies succeed at what they do? And I didn't even say it out loud, but I was literally hearing my mom's voice in my head from when I would come home from 4th and 5th grade, and I'd be like, these girls are being so mean to me. They're, like, pulling me aside and saying something really mean and then pretending like they didn't say it, and it just makes me really upset. And at the time, my mom said to me, first of all, ignore them, because that takes away their power. And second of all, you gotta totally put them in their place by making them repeat what they said, calling them out, responding in a way that might be a little zany or crazy, like, just don't let them get a rise out of you and get the response that they are wanting and trying to get out of you. Because at the end of the day, bullying comes from a place of insecurity and chaos, and when you can't control chaos, you try to control someone else, which really resonated with me. And it was interesting because the coach even said, adult bullies are much more subtle, especially in the office, which I was like, damn, that is so true, because office politics be crazy. But she said with fencing, when you're looking at your opponent and seeing how they're going to strike, you have to think about how you can take back control. If they're going to come at you, if you can rotate your wrist to move their blade down, then that's something you can do. If you can step back, that's another way. But there's a lot of defensive and offensive ways you can take back the control in the situation. And I feel like that's just a really nice metaphor for me right now in my life. There's so much going on. It's such a busy and fun and amazing time. But time feels like it's going so fast. So it's really nice to be present doing an activity that requires concentration and skill that I don't yet have. So I'm actively learning it alongside children and older people and thinking about what I could control in that very moment. Last thing I will say for now, because I'm definitely going to do a weekly update, is ladies, don't be intimidated to sign up for something that you perceive is male dominated. Perhaps just my inherent sexism, internalized sexism, rather, that's the term I was looking for. I thought that fencing was a very male dominated sport, and I also thought that if you fence as a woman, you have to fence another woman, and vice versa. As it turns out, that is not the case, and it's actually pretty equal as far as genders go to fence your opponent, because you're all suited up, you've got the mask, you've got a jacket, you've got, I mean, in the, like, higher levels, you have, like, fancy pants and everything. So there's really no advantage to being a man or a woman when you're fencing. And I just love that. So even though I went in and I'm in a beginner class of two adult men and two 12-year-old boys, I'm definitely, like, surprising myself, and I'm a lot better than I thought. I'm also a lot more used to very matriarchal or women-heavy sporting environments. Growing up as a dancer and in cheerleading, a lot of the people I was around all the time were women, although I do feel very lucky to have had several male teachers, and the studio owner that I went to for almost all of my life as a young person dancing was owned by a man, which really just gave me, like, a little bit of a break from that stereotype of, like, dancing is for girls type of thing. But I would say, for the most part, a lot of the sporting environments I've been in, I've just been surrounded by other girls and women. So it's cool to do something where you're, like, on par with a man. You can actually have the power and the advantage over him as a direct opponent and not, like, as side-by-side learning the discipline. And it was also nice for me because I do play tennis and do stuff with Murphy a lot, and he basically just beats me in every sport. Sports, but also games, anything that involves strategy, he pretty much outsmarts me, and that's saying a lot because I'm pretty smart. So I feel like I'm excited to win. I'm excited to be in a position where I could potentially exercise a little power. That's so Scorpio of me, but, you know, fencing feels very Oscar Wilde and Hamlet, and it just feels very dramatic and Shakespearean, and I love that so much because that is, like, my personality, so yay. Well, Gumptioneers, I think we have come to the end of our match. If you listened today, thank you so much. I'm happy to be feeling inspired about gumption again and not just simply writing it on my to-do list and then pushing it on to the next week and the next because I have no time. Gumption is not going away. Season 3 is in my thoughts and prayers that it will exist at some point. And even though I don't have a lot of free time right now, I really want to make it happen. And when I have an experience like this that makes me feel like the main character, which is what this podcast is all about, I am going to share it with you because gotta keep inspiring the people, you know? That being said, if you have any ideas for upcoming episodes, please let me know. I am open to feedback. I am wanting to hear what you guys are excited about and what you want me to analyze or talk about or try. Maybe that would be fun, actually, to have you guys suggest an activity for me to do, because my brain only takes me so far as thinking of things. So if you guys want me to jump into a den of lions or something, just let me know. I'm not sure how Murphy would feel about that. Might have to take some extended leave from work, but just let me know, guys. And as always, make sure you are following us on Instagram at gumptionpod for any updates on upcoming episodes or ways you can engage with the show. Love you guys. Bye.